This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Once again, it's 877-217-5757, your number, and Lamar White is on deck, the publisher of the Bayou Brief. But as we finish our conversation today with Melissa Flournoy and Jeff Sado, Dr. Flournoy, finally, what do you think the odds are that Senator Kennedy gets in the race for governor in the next 2 weeks?
Everything I hear says that he's getting in the race, and so I think it should be a great opportunity for Governor Edwards and Senator Kennedy to face off on the future of Louisiana.
All right, and Dr. Sado, is this a given, or is there still a possibility that Senator Kennedy will say, hey, I've got a lot of work to do in Washington, and I'll be supporting somebody else?
Well, I think it's probably 99 and 44, 100% certain he's going to run. I mean, who knows? Something could always come up. I mean, we saw with State Representative Julie Stokes a year or so ago. She was running for treasurer. It didn't. Things happened for her. It didn't work out. She had to withdraw from the race. But yeah, no, I'd say this is pretty much a done deal, unless something spectacularly interesting happens.
Well, thank you both, and have a good Thanksgiving. Dr. Jeff Sado, Dr. Melissa Flournoy, always a pleasure. And we're joined now by Lamar White, lawyer, journalist, and a man who covers things local and national on the Bayou Brief. And he's spending a lot of time focusing on the Mississippi Senate race, and there is a Senate election still to be determined in the Magnolia State. Before we get there, though, Lamar, what's your thought? What are your thoughts regarding a prospective Edwards-Kennedy race for governor?
I wasn't able to listen to the previous segment with Dr. Sado and my good friend Melissa, but I mean, my thoughts are that John Kennedy, for whatever, I mean, it'd be like, you know, the how many elections, different positions has he run for? And he was just really sworn in 2017. I think that it would be an interesting dynamic, but I think it's going to be difficult for him to raise or to go back to the well once again, because the whole purpose, the whole pitch that he made to donors a couple of years ago was, you know, give money to me and we're going to start building some seniority back in our federal delegation. And to turn around within only 2 years and abandon that seat or attempt to abandon that seat for a run at the governor's mansion just seems to me a smack of hypocrisy and opportunism. Plus, I think that the governor, John Bel Edwards, has done a great job and deserves reelection.
Well, it would seem that it would be a tight race, but Kennedy says he has this poll showing him 9 points in front. Some people are saying the poll's not worth very much, but I would think that certainly Kennedy would do better than David Bruce Vitter did in 2015 when he received 44% of the votes.
I think that you and I would probably do better than David Bruce Vitter did.
I'm not so sure about that, but
maybe
you would, Lamar. But
I don't know, Jim. Okay. Point taken, though. You know, he had he lost by 12.2 points. That was astonishing, really, considering that, you know, the year prior Mary Landrieu had lost her Senate reelection to Bill Cassidy by, you know, a significant margin.
But so about the same, turnaround. About the same, yeah.
Right, about the same. It will be a tighter election. It just remains to be seen. I think that nationally people have been impressed by Senator John Neely Kennedy, and he's gotten a lot of national press, which would, I think, vanquish if he decided to run for governor of Louisiana.
My guess, though, is that President Trump will be spending some quality time in Louisiana on the hustings with Senator Kennedy and the dashing duo would be formidable. After all, Donald Trump got 58% of the votes in Louisiana, and more votes than anybody in the history of the state. In fact, so many votes, Lamar, that you could add Vitter and John Bel Edwards together, and you're still 200,000 votes short of what Donald John Trump received here in 2016. So,
wow.
Yeah, he is the 300-pound gorilla in this race.
Now, that is a terrifying statistic.
Well, but it's true.
No, I believe you.
Not fake news. It's true.
Yeah.
Our president would probably agree with this one, though, that he is hot stuff in Louisiana. In Mississippi. Go ahead.
There's been some tracking polling, and I don't know how reliable. Look, Kennedy's polling, who knows how reliable that is, because some of the stuff that I've seen Republican pollsters put out have been, like, weighted, you know, and they don't reveal how they're weighing certain demographics. And so just really, who knows? You got to take it with a grain of salt. But I have seen some tracking polling about Donald Trump's approval in Louisiana. And yes, he still really, really, you know, he still enjoys well over 50%, 58 or something like that. But he's dropped by about 10 points in the last year. So, of course, you know, I think he's dropped more in other states, where I think he's dropped less in Louisiana than anywhere else but West Virginia. So he's still incredibly popular here, no doubt. But not as popular as he was when he ran in 2016.
Okay. You're following closely and reporting on it quite prolifically at the Bayou Brief about the Senate race next door in the Magnolia State, where Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith, an appointed senator, is facing backlash for her remarks once again that saying laws that make it just a little more difficult for some college students to vote are a great idea. What's going on in the great state of Mississippi, Lamar White?
It seems as if you've got the, there's this Cindy Hyde-Smith is the candidate's name, and she's running against a guy named Mike Espy, and he's the very first African-American elected to Congress from Mississippi since Reconstruction. They basically had a jungle primary, just like Louisiana did. Now they're going into a runoff. And these videos are emerging of Hyde-Smith about a week and a half ago saying some pretty incendiary things in front of, I guess, presumably what she thought was a friendly audience, that have a lot of racial undertones and implications. And it's created quite a national controversy. I mean, I'm not really sure how it's going to affect the race, but I will tell you this. You know, we saw in Alabama, it's a little different dynamic because, of course, Roy Moore was not just, you know, accused of being a racist. He was accused of being sort of a pedophile in a way, and I think, or people, the bipartisan consensus against electing someone like that. But we did see a huge, huge surge of African-American turnout in Alabama that changed the dynamic, and a lot of people in Mississippi looked at Alabama and thought, this could happen here too. And for 37% of Mississippi's population is African-American, it seems ill-conceived to me to make these remarks. And she knew that she was being tracked. She knew there was a video on her at all times. She just wantonly said this stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, I know the national press is really on it.
Well, Mike Espy received 41% of the votes in the primary. And as you note, the state is 37% African-American. So that means he had to have some white people vote for him.
That's right. That's
right. And he will get more than 41% almost certainly in the runoff, but can he get to 50 plus one?
And that really is the question. And I know that, I just saw yesterday or 2 days ago that a large Democratic super PAC is about to spend a bunch of money in Mississippi in support of Espy. As you recall, in 2014, during the Landrieu Cassidy runoff, the DSCC and basically every major Democratic super PAC abandoned Senator Landrieu. And, I mean, a lot of folks believe that it may have not won her the election, but it could have closed the gap significantly had there been more money invested. So we'll see if this makes a difference. And maybe these groups have learned their lesson, and it is a good idea to invest in the American Deep South.
Well, this is a November 27th runoff, so it is a week from next Tuesday. In Mississippi, it'll be before our election on December the 8th. And Hyde-Smith got about the same number of votes as Mike Espy, but it was a primary with other candidates, and Mississippi is regarded by some as perhaps the most conservative state in America, despite having the largest number of African-American voters on a percentage basis. And it would be a remarkable happening if Mike Espy were to win this election.
It would be. It really would be. But I think that, you know, if people, it really reminds me in a way of, and I'm not, I'm working on a piece about this, and I have to be careful about this, but, you know, the David Duke Edwin Edwards race in 1991, I mean, not to suggest in any way that Hyde Smith is the former Klansman or anything like that, but that this is bad for business. And that was Edwin's point at the very end. This is bad for business. And I think that's what the message that needs to be hammered home at the end.
All right. Well, Lamar, we do have to roll, but the remark for those who have not heard, Cindy Hyde Smith said, if he invited me to a public hanging, I'd be on the front row. That was after a Tupelo supporter, Colin Hutchinson, praised her. Thank you, Lamar White, and go to the Bayou Brief and find out more. And we'll be back Monday. Stay tuned.